Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. This is Primetime Crime. I'm Katrina Daniel, and the criminal du jour is a serial killer nicknamed the Doodler, a benign name for a not-so-benign guy. A brutal guy, in fact, who slaughtered his victims years ago and is still on the loose in San Francisco, the Bay Area, where he stabbed to death as many as six and quite possibly more gay men. Here with the latest evidence is San Francisco Chronicle reporter Kevin Fagan, who has devoted years of his life to tracking this killer, along with a cold case expert investigator. Also, it seems there are at least three victims who have lived through the Doodler's attacks, but they won't come forward. Lots of twists and turns to this case. Investigators are getting closer, and Kevin Fagan is here to give us the details.
Forty-eight years ago today, police were called out to Ocean Beach near Ulloa and 48th Avenue for what would turn out to be the first of the Doodler's victims. 50-year-old Gerald Cavanaugh had been stabbed multiple times, his body left on the beach. Over the next year and a half, more victims turned up, all of them gay, Caucasian men. Most were stabbed to death.
Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. You truly have one of the most remarkable, enviable jobs in the country as a reporter and a crime specialist for the vaunted San Francisco Chronicle. So you're a serial crime specialist. How the heck does someone become a serial crime specialist?
Well, you start out as a crime reporter, then you become a general assignment reporter, then you get assigned to the Unabomber in the mid-90s after covering endless murders. And pretty soon the Zodiac follows, and then you witness a bunch of executions with serial killers, and you become, you know, a serial killer specialist.
Bring me back to the witnessing of executions, if you would, at the end of this, because we've got to cover this. The Doodler. Talk to us about the Doodler. That's not a serial killer that a lot of people elsewhere have heard about, and yet he's in the news these days. Tell us why.
Well, it's interesting. He was a serial killer in the mid-1970s, that became a cold case because the San Francisco police weren't able to arrest anyone in this. And what he did was, in 1974, 1975, he'd walk into any of the dozens of gay bars in San Francisco and pick a mark, sketch him. He was a pretty good artist, usually on a napkin. And he'd walk up to the guy and say, "Hey, handsome, like my sketch? Like my doodle?" And if the guy said yes and they hit it off, the doodler would say, "Yeah, let's take off and go to a hookup spot." So off they'd go. And back then, in the 70s, mid-70s, early 70s, it was illegal to have gay sex. There were sodomy laws on the books. There were cross-dressing laws on the books.
Really?
You could get arrested for walking down the street holding hands. So they'd go to some place that was kind of secret and you know, secluded, but the cops knew where a lot of these places were. But what do you do is you do this late at night. So he took three of his victims to the beach, Ocean Beach at the west end of San Francisco, and a couple of his victims to parks, actually three more victims. He had six confirmed, possibly many more. And they'd start having sex, and out comes the knife, and he'd jam it into their back, flip them over, and finish it off. These were rage killings. He stabbed more than a dozen times. Some of them were so savagely beaten and stabbed that their own relatives couldn't recognize.
Oh, God.
And he got away with this
forever. Yeah.
And then what happened was in 2018, 2017, a cold case cop in San Francisco named Dan Cunningham got curious about these things. He'd been talking to a gay reporter who just offhand mentioned there were a lot of gay killings back in the 70s. So he pawed through the boxes and the back shelves and found this one, which intrigued him. And so he called me up because I'd known him tangentially through my Zodiac coverage of the Zodiac Killer, who was another big murderer of the 70s and 60s. And he asked me to find a reporter who had done the last story for the Chronicle on the Doodler, where he's one of two reporters who'd done it. The other one had died. And this guy was named Peter Kuehl. So he'd long since retired. So I found him living in a really rundown SRO in the Tenderloin, which is our, you know, gritty district, as they call it. And the landlord wouldn't come out of the door, and kind of hostile, and said, yeah, that guy lives here, but he's in the hospital. So I went over to the hospital. The guy was dying of cancer, couldn't speak, and then he died of cancer. So thus died the last reporter who had covered the Doodler. Because all the others from the other publications and other media outlets here were also long gone. So I asked Dan, well, what's this about? So he told me about this unsolved mystery, and I started digging. He kept digging. There came a time, let's see, it was 2018 when he put out press release with the San Francisco Police Department and had a press conference announcing a reward of $100,000 for anyone who could come up with something that would lead to the arrest and capture of the Doodler. And he came out with an age-enhanced sketch of the main suspect back then. So you had the sketch, you had the reward, there was some notice. And I got a call from a film company in London called the Ugly Duckling Film Company. And they had been looking into the Doodler, because if you were a real serial killer aficionado, there were things you could find if you looked hard enough.
Tell us what the Doodler's description was. What does the sketch show, the age-enhanced sketch?
Well, the sketch back then showed a man in about, 1920, anywhere from 19 to 24, African-American guy wearing a black knit cap. And the age-enhanced sketch had him bald. And you can find the thing on the internet and see if he's living next door to you. And that, you know, that sketch back then helped generate some tips that helped lead to a suspect back then who they couldn't actually arrest.
Have you gotten any tips lately, or has your cold case detective, Dan Cunningham, gotten any tips lately?
Tons of tips.
Ooh, tell us, do you know anything worthwhile?
Yes, but I can't say them.
Damn, come on.
Come on, you know.
Come on, man.
Off the record stuff.
What do you think is going to help catch the Doodler? What about those sketches? Are any of those left as evidence? And wouldn't there be DNA on those?
Well, the thing about the Doodler that made it so confounding back then is he did not leave sketches behind. He was evidently pretty careful because he did not leave belongings of his. He didn't drop his wallet, you know, or a motel key or anything could help nail a guy. And the DNA in this case, you know, there hasn't been good DNA up to this point because on the evidence, the nearly 50-year-old evidence sitting around in boxes, all the blood on the victim clothing and the articles is the victim's blood. They weren't able to separate out any attacker's blood to get DNA or get any trace elements off some of the evidence. What made this new or what generated new tips is I did an 8-part podcast with stories in the Chronicle in last spring that
right.
ran. And that was, you know, kickstarted by this company in London, a film company in London, Ugly Duckling Films, who called me and said, we want to do a podcast. So Chronicle, we all signed a deal and did this podcast. That thing went international, hit number 3 in Britain, number 2 in America. That got a lot of notice, and that got a lot of tips. And along the way, we got a lot of tips because I roped in my old Chronicle colleague, Mike Taylor, who worked the Unabomber case with me and a bunch of other killings and mysteries until he retired a few years back. Well, I got to hire him to help me do the podcast, and he's a great researcher. We found all kinds of stuff that had never been found before.
Like what?
Well, prominently, we found enough information that led us all to believe that there was a sixth victim of the Doodler. There were 5 up until now. Well, until recently. And then, what was it, last week, the police department announced they were adding a 6th victim named Warren Andrews to the mix. We put him in the podcast, but, you know, the department wanted to really, you know, line up everything and make dead sure they had the right information. So last week they put out a press release saying, and a bulletin, with the sketch and with a $200,000 reward now instead of $100,000. And they added Warren Andrews. The significance of adding Warren is that if someone remembers something about Warren back then, someone has something in their possession, something in a back cabinet somewhere that they found, this could be handy. And what also helped was Dan Cunningham is the
cold case detective. Yeah.
Great guy, really dogged, doesn't give up, been at it a long time. He dredged around. He found some good evidence in the Warren Andrews case.
Do you have DNA available now?
No.
No new DNA for this guy at all?
No.
That's weird.
No. They're testing the stuff. Well, it's not really that weird when you consider it's almost 50 years old. Their DNA wasn't even an expression back then, let alone.
Right, DNA. Right.
You know, you look for a fingerprint, maybe saliva. That was it.
Do you think he's still alive at this point in time?
I think there's a good chance. Sure. The suspect back then was never arrested. No charges filed. He's a person of interest now. That's all you can
call
him.
Is he still a person of interest now?
Yeah, he's alive and he's a person of interest, but yeah, you can't go over and arrest him. You can't even name the guy. There's nothing solid enough to put him behind bars or even, you know, drag him in for questioning just yet.
What do you guys know about the suspect at this time? He was questioned at the time. So wouldn't it be a matter of public record who was brought in for questioning?
No.
Okay.
Because it's an active investigation. Okay. It was a cold case, but they're still looking into it. And he was this man was a suspect back then, living across the bridge in the East Bay. But he is not a suspect now. You can't name a guy as a suspect unless the police actually name him. So we can't go invade his privacy. Plus, if I were to find the guy and bang on his door and start asking a bunch of questions, that actually compromises a court case.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would.
Yeah, you know how that goes.
Are they still following him? Have they ever?
They keep tabs on this person, but they don't surveil him. You know, they don't have a squad car parked outside his house. People have privacy rights. You got to put the case together first.
Do you experts in this Doodler case, do you guys believe he has stopped killing?
You know, your guess is as good as anyone's.
And he's aged out. He must be really old by now.
Yeah, my guess is that he's probably stopped killing wherever he is. Because there are other suspects in the mix. Yes, there are. And I don't think there haven't been killings that Mike and I are aware of or that the police I talked to are aware of that match the Doodler recently. There were some others from around the country that I got tips on that I'm checking out because evidently the Doodler may have been spooked out by the being interviewed back in 1975, 76. And taken off for a little road trip, and he could have killed on his road trip.
That's correct.
There was one good reason why the Doodler was able to get away with what he was able to get away with. And this was at the time of the gay liberation movement really starting to take off. It was gestation. There were so many anti-gay laws on the books that you just had guys coming to San Francisco for freedom. And they would pack into the bars, into the drag clubs, theater shows. It was really a fun scene in a lot of ways. And it was a great hunting ground for the Doodler because the police weren't really, they were a lot of folks from back then that I talked to said they were more interested in busting guys for having sex than trying to protect the people coming in and out of the gay bars.
Yeah.
So the Doodler thought, okay, you know, easy hunting grounds.
But a psychologist would say he obviously was a closeted, repressed gay person himself, or he's just a nasty piece of crap.
Well, I'll tell you, the theory at the time, which still holds, is that the Doodler was wrestling with his own homosexuality. The way it went was, you're conflicted about it. You don't want to be gay. It's illegal to be gay. So you go over, you pick up a guy, you have sex with him, and then you kill him. Ew. And it's just, you never had the sex. You're exorcising your homosexuality.
Very good point. Or you're punishing him and yourself.
Yeah. Any of a number of things. If they ever catch this guy, and they're able to take it all the way through and he spills, I would be absolutely fascinated to hear what the motivations, which I, you know, if you're that murderous, you're not really sane. So the motivations would not be really sane, but I'd like to hear what the heck he had to say anyway.
Hi, Kevin, who's your favorite serial killer?
Oh God. The one that I've spent the most time with, I guess is the Zodiac. And I get hundreds of tips all the time about it. Oh yeah.
What do you do with those tips?
Well, most of them, you know, there are hundreds of people around the world who are convinced they've solved this thing, or convinced the Zodiac is daddy, or my brother, or the guy down the street, or the one, or the, you know, the band of cops down the hill. It's the theories go everywhere, and a lot of those people who think they figured it out and figured out the ciphers that he sent are just adamant, and some of them get pissed off if, you know, we in the media are not writing that they've solved it.
Kevin Fagan, thank you so very much for your time.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at Primetime Crime _. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.